We are living in a very, very difficult tikufa. On the one hand, we have got, Baruch Hashem, learning has become such a widespread and really serious undertaking. It's mamish like unbelievable, the learning that's taking place. And on the other hand, we have Nebuch, the dropout situation, where lots and lots of children are simply not keeping up, uninterested. Now, mamish, it's menyona diyama, when in Eretz Yisrael, people are trying to starve Yiddish kinder, to force them into submission, to change the curriculum, which was a mesora for many years for the Yerushalayim Yidden and for some others. Like, there's a milchama going on about the demands of Torah, the learning of Torah, the living by Torah standards. We're living in a very, very difficult time. What's that got to do with Shlach Lecha? Well, it has to do with, actually, I think that to understand about Shlach Lecha, what we're going to have to think about, I think you have to start in Baal Oischa. In Baal Oischa, I mentioned in an earlier shiur, I happened to listen to one of the shiurim which I had given a few years back on Baal Oischa. And I tied that perhaps the saddest posuk in the Torah is in Baal Oischa, where it says, "Vayiven Tzoya Horon Vayomer Moshe Kumo Hashem Viyofutzay Vecho Viyonusu Misanecho Miponecho Uvnucho Yomah Shuvu Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael." You can just imagine Moshe Rabbeinu. Things were now perfect. Everything was ready, and the Ora and the Chatzotzros stood, Baruch Hashem, we're on our way to Eretz Yisrael. V'yomer Moshe, kumo Hashem, v'yofutzu oivecho, v'yonusu misanecho miponecho. It's going to be Mordechai. What was the reaction of the people? V'yihyo kemis oinem, ra be'oznei Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, Vayicha Apoy, Vativa Bom Eish Hashem, Vatoichal Bikzei Hamachane. Now, what does it mean? Vayihom Kemisonenim. Now, that's a very interesting binyan. For those of you who are diktuk whizzes, be very interesting. So, it's in the Hispoel, which is the reflexive. So, what does it really mean? So, I'm going to read to you, I lent my Hishchum is the English on Bamidbar. I lent it to somebody who needed it, so I don't have it in front of me. And if I read to you in the German, I think I'll lose a couple of listeners, so I won't try to do that. But there is an English passage in Bereshis. So when Rochel called her son Ben Oni, so Shamshon Hirsch says like this: the basic meaning of own is the physical or moral ability to acquire or possess something. In other words, own means I have a relationship to this which gives me the opportunity to be coined. Hence the denotation of a rightful claim to a property. In this sense, own in rabbinic Hebrew means a legal title. Koisvin olav oinoi, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma. So what does oinoi mean? It means a shtar which shows my rights to this property. Oin, then, is a precondition for hoin, okay? Oin, which is the right to make efforts to get this, ends up in hoin, that it becomes my property. Okay, the misuse of oin, the power of acquisition or possession, is oven. Thus, as the misuse, just as the misuse of oil is ovel, so also, thus also, oin, grief over the loss of something. An oinan Nebuchadnezzar who loses a relative is an oinan until the burial. One who grieves over something feels that he has a right to it. He, so to speak, rebels against the loss. Thus, the grief one feels over the loss of a close relative who has just died and has not yet been buried by, oh, that's what, oh, so it's aninus, that's an oinan. And then he quotes our posuk, "Vayihom kemis onanim." Listen carefully. Misowning them is the reflexive. In other words, lehitrachetz is not that I'm going to wash you, it's going to wash myself. I'm going to turn the verb of washing away from a third party, but onto myself. The people were as one who mourns over himself. They regarded themselves as already dead, and as it were, mourned over themselves. Vayom kemis onanim. Onan is a mourner. He's a mourner because he's being denied that which he feels he really ought not to be denied. So that's what an oinon is. Yeah? A misoinon means that that sense of loss concerns himself. Just like lehitrachetz means I'm washing myself. So lehitonen means that I am being oinon over myself. Yeah? I am in the German way the Rav Shishvili writes it. I feel as though I am already in the coffin. That's what it means. Lehisoinen. By here am kemis oinenim. Ra beoznei Hashem. So how he uses the word ra over here is not so important for us. But I'm going to turn a couple of pages where they start grumbling about the. The slav, I mean, to get the meat. Oh, so, what does it say over there? Oh, Vayishma Moshe Esa'am, Boichele Mishpachosav. They were all miserable, 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 miserable. And they were Lemishpachosav. Interesting. In other words, it wasn't, I think the Pshat is just talking that out over there also, that it wasn't the Pshat is that it was like the Arab Spring, like all the people came together and mourned. And many of them, I guess, were schlepped along even though they didn't really hold by it. But here it was universal. Every household was standing there by the doors weeping, weeping, weeping. Like, yeah. Vayichra'af Hashem me'od uve'enei Moshe ro. You can understand that so well, that Moshe Rabbeinu must have just given up. Like, what is going on with you guys? Yeah? Vayhi ben soya ho'rein, vayayme Moshe, kumo Hashem, v'yofutzu oivecho, v'yonusu misanecho, miponecho, we're ready. Klal Yisrael. In its shvotim, in its machanos, in its anane kovet, in its the whole story. And we're ready and we're going, but your futsu aivecho, your enemies are going to scatter in front of all this kedusha and tara and beauty that lies in Klal Yisrael. And what are Klal Yisrael doing? Oh, yeah, that... well, we know what they were doing. V'asafsav Hashem b'kirbo his avu taiva, zochanu es ha-doga, asher noichel b'mitzrayim chinom, es ha-kishuim, v'es ha-vatichim, v'es ha-chotzir, v'es ha-betzolim, v'es ha-shumim. Those are the things that matter to us. What are you telling me about Ananei Kovod over here? Yeah, but where's my, whatever you call these things? The garlic. I need. So you're telling me about the chves? Yeah, tell me where I'm going to get my garlic and I'll be satisfied like this. I'd like to go back to Mitzrayim. Vato nafshenu yevesho ein koil. Do you understand that? What that word ein koil means over here? Ein koil means I have zilch, nothing. What are you so excited about, Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, you're happy because you have Ananei Kovod, you're happy because you have Chatzoitzres, you're happy because you have Klal Yisrael, and you have the Machane, Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael. Yeah, but the garlic, where is it? Where the Betzolim? The Chotz, I mean, it's terrible when you think about it. That is what was happening. So I mean, so what is really the issue over here? What is going on? I mean, what is going on is that there is an enormous, I can't even think of a sufficiently strong word, utterly and completely apparently impossible chasm which cannot be crossed between what Moshe Rabbeinu Judaism is about, and what the people's Judaism is about. Or Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Kumo Hashem ve'yofutzai vecho ve'yonusu mesanecho miponecho. The victory of the Ribbono Shel Olam over riches in the world is now assured. And they say, yeah, but where's the garlic? It's really pretty sad. The fact is that went really to a very large extent, because it seems to me that lies at the bottom of the Lashon Hara of Miriam and Aaron. So what does it say over there? It's also Rav Shamshon Halevi. He's really moiredik. It says over here like this: "Vatadaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe al odos ha'isha ha'kushis asher lokach." Ki isha kushis lokach. Now, Shamshon Halevi has a very, very chiddushlik way of understanding this pasuk, which I'll explain to you in a moment. And he himself is hesitant about suggesting that, because I don't think he finds a mocker for it. But by his enormous analysis of the language of the Torah, it becomes very, very mistaken that he's saying the right thing. Let's analyze this pasuk. Vatadaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe al odos ha'isha ha'kushis asher lokach, because of the Negro woman whom he had married, ki isha kushis lokach, for he had married a Negro woman. Now, there are lots of difficulties about that. First of all, because Midian is not Ethiopia. And there's no reason to suppose that Sipporah that her skin color was black. There's no reason to suppose that. So what does it mean? And second of all, what does it mean? Ki isha kushis lokach. In Baloisro, you don't have to tell me that anymore, right? I mean, even if you would teach, but the Dabe Miriam v'Aaron the Moshe alados ha isha ha kushis asher lokach means the Negro woman. So ki isha kushis lokach, because he had taken a Negro. I mean, we know whom he married. That happened in Shemos. Now we're in Baloisro. So what does this mean? So second of all, he shows that al odos, he brings lots of, like, he's very thorough, and so he brings that this al odos is always used in the Torah when it means that you have rachmonos over somebody. The vayera dotten be'enav al odos beno, right? Al odos be'er. In other words, some asher chofa. So he's al odos means that somebody was mistreated. So what does it mean? Al odos ho isha hakushis asher lokach, ki isha kushis lokach. So bekitza, I'm not going to bring you all the psukim on which I involved, because that's a lot of stuff. We will be getting much too long. Bekitza, he suggests, and it makes a lot of sense, I think, that the expression Isha Kushis was not a literal a lady who came from Kush. The Isha Kushis was the name which people attached to a woman who was distanced physically from her husband. In other words, a person who married a woman without the intention of having marital relationships with her, that was called an Isha Kushis. Why? Because he brings a lot of examples where Kushi is that. Yeah? Let's see, just one of them. Hayafo Kushi Oro. Can a Kushi change his skin? The implication is that he would want to change his skin. In other words, even then, yeah, and then Halo Kivne Kushiim Atemli. Right, where the Rabban Shem says, I love you, and I love you in spite of your failings, just like you, I regard you as a B'nai Kushiyim. Anybody would be Merache B'nai Kushiyim, but I'm not Merache you. That's how he learns Pshat in these Psukim. Bekitzer, what's happening over here makes this Lashon Hara of Aaron and Miriam very understandable, because the Pasuk seems to say that they talk Lashon Hara, yeah, Al oidois ha'isha ha'kushes ha'shel lokach, about this lady, ki isha kushes lokach, what does that mean? Yeah, because they said, va'yoymru, harak ach b'moyshe dibe Hashem, halo bonu, yeah, they're connecting it with prophecy. So what's it going to do with prophecy? That means if you're a prophet, you're going to marry a Negro woman, what's going on? So he talks all out this barichas, and this is not the ikar of what we want to talk about today, so let's not be spending so much time on it. If you can get, if you read German, that's wonderful. If you can only get, if you can get an English chumash, it's kedai to read the passage, because there's a lot of wonderful thinking over there. But Bekitzer, that's what it is. They associated it, as the story yields, they associated it with prophecy. So what's a prophecy got to do with marrying Negro women? Teretz is, they just now found out. You see, that's what happened. They didn't know that this was so. They didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Poyrish from Tzipora. Well, how would they know? Tzipora didn't talk about it to them. Yeah, but now, yeah, when they so like Chazal said, Tzipora was crying because when the Zkenim came along and said, "Oy vey, now they are going to be Poyrish from their wives." So there they found out that Moshe Rabbeinu had been Poyrish, and they were very upset because they thought he was mistreating her. That's what it means. Al odos ho isha hakushis asher lokach. At the injustice that was being done to the Isha Kushes Asher Lokach. It was taka an injustice that was being done. Because we're prophets, and we didn't have to be poyrish from our spouses, right? So why do you have to be poyrish from your spouse? And that is the story, that's the whole story. It's a moyrodik way of learning pshat in the pasuk. Now, it is a daring expression, because it turns something into an idiom, which the Torah doesn't hint at the fact that it's an idiom. It's just by collecting all the places in Tanakh where the concept of kushes comes about that it makes it quite mistaber that it could be that. So what's happening over here? So Miriam and Aaron were angry. Now, why were they angry? What's the big deal? Moshe Rabbeinu is Pirish from his wife. You don't have to be Pirish, so what's the big deal? The Teretz is that they were upset at who Moshe Rabbeinu held himself to be. In other words, they were not the regular people who were worried about the garlic, right? But they were worried about their Madrega of Nevuah. So we're Nevi'im, right? And we know that a Novi can be a perfectly legitimate Novi without being poyrish from his spouse. So why do you have to go and be poyrish from your spouse? The answer is because that's what the Rabban Shem told them. Yeah, that the people should go to their oil, va'ato poy amoy demodi. But you are different. You're not going to go back to your oil. You're going to be with me. Va'ato poy amoy demodi. And they didn't want that. In other words, just like the ordinary people, simply, all right, it's nice to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's Zovas Chol V'Tvash, it's very, very nice, and we're looking forward in a way, but not if it's going to cost us garlic. That's not worth paying for that. So that was the Madrega of the lesser people. The Madrega of the Miriams and Aarons, the greatest people of the day, was that... Why do you feel that being close to Hashem denies you the right to enjoy this world? Marital relations are important. And why do you deny them to yourself? That shows that you're some kind of conceited person. But we can tell you from our own experience, we're perfectly big, prophets. And we are not partners from our spouses. So... It's the anger that we don't want to look at love or closeness to the Ribbono Shalom as something that denies us legitimate pleasures of Olam Hazeh. Is there something wrong with garlic? Nothing wrong with garlic. Yeah, so why shouldn't we have it? What's happening? Yeah, now we're not getting it. Is there anything wrong with marital relations? Nothing wrong with it. It's a big mitzvah. Yeah. So why should it be denied to us? They were fighting against this. Moshe Rabbeinu understood very, very well. You know, the emes is, I don't know about that. That is really a big issue. You know, nowadays, I don't want to be so marich on these things, but you know, that's the question. Is Klal Yisrael acting in a particularly nice way, for example, with the simchas, yeah, that they're so elaborate and so costs such gigantic amounts of money and makes so many people into financial wrecks and psychological wrecks because they can't afford it, and they're hin and here, and this demand is made and that demand is made. Is that really the way it should be? Is that really the way it should be? So I was thinking that the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Zovas Chol Avodvash. Now, just like Havdil Elev Avdolos, Rav Shmuel Hirsch was a little misupik about what he said about the Isha Kushes, that it means a wife who has no rights to conjugal rights, I guess you would say, to marital relationships with her husband. So he was misupik because there's no mocha for it really directly to make that into an idiom. So I'm also not so sure about this, but you know, it says Eretz Yisrael is described as an Eretz Zovas Chol Avodvash, that it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place because it's a fertile place. It grows beautiful, beautiful things, and it's an Eretz Zovas Chol Avodvash. Now, steaks are not mentioned for some reason. Well, yeah, it doesn't say over there, at least I don't think so, that the animals are nice and fat and they produce excellent steaks. And it doesn't say that. And I think in the world, it's assumed that fleshix is like a more kosher food. And it seems that the Torah simply by the expressions which it uses is saying chill it, if that's the right slang, yeah. You don't dafka need a steak, yeah. Yeah, cholav, you have some cereal, pour some milk on it. Ah, I'm a chay, yeah. Dvash, shine, you have some bees, you put some honey on the bread. Ah, it tastes delicious, right? But maybe is that what the Torah is trying to tell us? I don't know, but. You see in these parshias, certainly in the two parshias, coming together, first the grumbling about the mon. And what's taka the grumbling of the mon? And that's taka what we have to get to know. But this I've mentioned before. There's the Hagdoma of the Sheshmeitzer. Yeah, you can always make a joke. It's a mefusha Sheshmeitzer. Yes. It's not in the Sheshmeitzer digger part of the Sheshmeitzer, but in the Hagdoma to the Sheshmeitzer. The Rambam says, the Mechaber says over there that Nafshenu Kotzer B'lechem HaKlakel, that they grumbled about the mon. So what's so bad about the mon? It tasted like delicious and so on and so forth. And you could whatever that means, that you could make a taste the way you want. Mon wasn't so bad. So what are you grumbling about the mon? So he says that Nafshenu Kotzer, he brings from somebody, I don't remember the names, but he brings from somebody that Kotzer Begematria is the name of the Sar of the Torah, the Sar who is Memuna on Torah. So his name is Kotzer, Kuf Tzadik He. And the fact is that it was he who gave them the mon, because the mon had the ability to make you a muchrach to learn Torah. In other words, if you ate mon, besides having a delicious taste for breakfast or for lunch, when you ate your little bit of mon, but besides that you had no yetzahara at all to run out of the Beis HaMedrash. They learned and learned and learned and learned and learned, because the shayrish of the mon is the gift of Torah. As I, it's kedai, it's a long hakdoma. You have to learn the whole thing. Let's see if you can find that piece about Nafshenu Kotzer Melechem HaKloikem. That is what's going on. That means the Bnei Yisrael, that's what I meant before, the juxtaposition of putting next to it, yeah? Even Soya Horain, Vayamim Mashe, Kumu Hashem, Yofutz Avecha, Vyanusim Sanechem Vyanecha. Yeah, we are going to be living, we are going to be the top of the pyramid. That's who we're going to be. And what do the Yidden say? Miss Einan, we're dead. Yeah? You think that's a life, Moshe Rabbeinu? Like the whole day in the Beis HaMedrash, and that's it, and no fun, and no garnish. And that's what you call Kum Hashem v'yofutzai v'echo v'yonusim misanechem v'panecha. Yeah, what's the point of it all? I don't need my enemies to run away. I need to have a nice lunch. What are you telling me? And I don't want to be forced to learn the whole day. It's very, very, very much, I think, a me'en of what we're going through nowadays with some of our children, unfortunately. They don't want it. They don't want it. And we, I think, as a community, have not learned the wisdom of how to offer a chinuch, which is chanoich lenaar al pi dako. That takes an enormous skill to be able to give the various talmidim that which each one needs, and the very, very, very high-pressured learning, which, Baruch Hashem, many of our children are able to excel in, is not for some of the others. And if we put them into the same system, or insist that the system not be flexible to the extent, blah, 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 you know the rest, so then we're failing, and we're losing a lot of children. It's just a very, very, very serious thing, and especially now, as I said, this terrible machlokes in Eretz Yisrael, which is making, you know, mahasayich u'machariravayich mimeichoyu, the pasuk says, yeah, that in achas hayomim, the ones who destroy Klal Yisrael are not the goyim, they're the yidden within Klal Yisrael who are destroying. Yeah, and here we have a guy who's threatening to starve people to death if they're not going to submit to his vision of what ought to be the chinuch of children in Eretz Yisrael. It's shoymu shomayim. But that's his garlic. That is his garlic. I'm not going to say what I wanted to say, but that is his garlic. And it's a terrible thing. It's really, really a terrible thing. What's it all got to do with Shlach Lecha? What's it got to do with Shlach Lecha? The answer is because Shlach Lecha is the continuation of this sad story. We start off with the Chatzaitzros, and so we've got them now, everything is ready. They blow the Chatzaitzros, we're going. They became mourners of themselves whom they perceived as lying in coffins. If that's the kind of life that you're offering me, I'm dead, and I'm not interested in being dead. And that's the whole story over here of the Misavim. His Avu Taiva. What does his Avu Taiva mean? His Avu Taiva doesn't mean they had a Taiva. His Avu Taiva, you can see that in the Rosh Hashanah Kodesh also, is that they willingly and consciously made themselves be misave. They wanted to have this taiva, to have meat. That's what they wanted. They weren't satisfied with zovas chol of a dvash, the way we were talking a minute ago. So now they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? Yeah, they said, chozakum imenu. We won't be able to fight the people. Rabbi said, "Where red wagon fighting? Who's fighting? Yeah, what does it say over there? Yeah, boyu roshu esor oretz. Yeah, zogt Rashi, einchem tzrichem leklei zayin. You don't need to fight anybody. Relax, just relax. You don't have to fight anybody. I'm coming in with you. And if I come in with you, everything will be fine. I don't have to go and fight." Or I'll fight the way I fight. Hashem ish milchoma, but it's different. Yeah, Hashem ish milchoma. Hashem, the name. Hashem is loichem with his shame. It's a different story. So what were they so worried about? The answer is, it's the same old garlic. That is what it is. They said, we don't want. That's why we want to get out of this Midbar already. It's very, very nice to have the Ananei Kovet, but between you and me and the Dopos, I'd rather have a nice nice house on a farm with decent fields around me and growing this and growing that and living a nice and normal life. And that's what I want. So don't tell me that Einchem Tzrichim L'Klei Zayin. I'm not interested in a land in which my whole existence is a miraculous one. I don't want to live miraculously. I want to live normally. And normally means that if you're going to go and take a country away from somebody else, it's going to have to be some fighting. And we don't mind. We'll do the fighting, but not against those guys. They're giants. So it's ridiculous, the whole thing. Let's go back to Mitzrayim and just put the whole thing down to experience. See, in other words, the Shlach is a very, very, very smooth continuation of the second half of Baal Yisro. And that's what we have to understand. And the Maise is that Dafka, these two Pashias, as they are presented to us, are really very, very, very Lemaise. Very, very Lemaise. Given the terrible Tzoros which Klal Yisrael is going through at the moment in Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Hashem should help that these things should be solved and we shouldn't lose these children anymore, these precious, 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 precious children. We shouldn't lose them, chas v'shalom, which means that there's a challenge over here and I don't know how much is being done to meet that challenge. I know a lot is being done. I'm wondering whether enough is being done or whether the directions are necessarily the most promising ones. It needs a lot of eon. But I'll call upon him. Let's try and live through these two settlers without being misyayish, because Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael, and Mashiach will come, and everything will be fine.